words cannot express our appreciation for your love and kindness, the time we've been among you, and we appreciate the things that have gone before. Certainly gleaned many a thought from his discourse. My mind has turned to a prophecy in Isaiah. And this was future for them. It says, behold, in Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah 32, behold. Again, that means to look and see, take a good close look. Appreciate what he said about that. A king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. Much could be said about the kingship. What constitutes a king is he gets the victory and ascends the throne. A king ascends the throne. And if you have a king and he's not on the throne, then he's not a king. So you need to think about a victory having been won and crown given, and he ascends the throne. It says, a king shall reign in righteousness. John was blessed to see a vision of a man on a white horse. And I certainly wouldn't get into, I cringe when people go into Revelation, but this one's pretty clear. He said, I saw heaven open and a white horse, and he that sat thereon, he was called Faithful and True. Yeah. And on his head was many crowns. You know what? He'd won every war he had ever fought. He'd won every battle. And he had a name written. No one knew, but he didn't stop there. He told us what it was. Written was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's my pleasure, friends, to tell you about this king. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He did win the victory. He swallowed up death in victory. And he ascended the throne. And I want to tell you, that's where he is now. He's on the throne because he won the victory. Princes shall rule in judgment. You realize that's you? In essence, that's you. If you have by authoritative sovereign taken charge of your household, that's you. A prince is a chief over a family. Every time you think about the word nations, do you realize that can be as small as a family? A nation sometimes is referring to families. And that's you, friends. Princes shall rule in judgment. How do we know how to judge? You have to have something to judge by. The Apostle Peter helped us there when he says the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. It begins right here. Takes us back to where we began Thursday evening. Right here is where we learned the standard of judgment. Right here. And the king has given us the ruling to judge by. But I like this next part, and this is maybe the part, if God would help me, I want to focus on. And a man. Get this. Get this. A man shall be a hiding place from the wind. A man shall be a hiding place from the wind. A cover from the tempest. Had a brother-in-law that had a barbershop. He was in the barbershop doing his job, and somebody come running in. There's a tornado. It's right here. Him and his customers ran for the highway to get in a culvert. They were going to take refuge in a culvert, one on the highway. Pretty good safe place to be. Then he remembered, just about the time he got in the culvert, I left my money in the barbershop. And he ran back in and got his money, and by that time the tornado was on top of him, and he jumped in the ditch with his fists clenched on his money. The tornado began to pick him up, and he turned loose the money and grabbed a hold of the grass. He said, I thought I was a goner, and it let me down. Friend, you got a refuge in this man. He's a man, too. I want you to understand that. He's not superhuman. He was a man. In fact, we read in the Word of God, the apostle gave us this reading. If I can get this without having to go to it. For as much as the children were partakers in flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same. Flesh and blood. Flesh and blood, friends. He was flesh and blood. He hungered, he thirsted, he grew weary. He had to rest. He was flesh and blood. For as much as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath power over death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now people tell me that they don't fear death. I'm sorry, but you do. That same person will say, I'm not afraid to die, and go spend every dime they have at the doctor. Something's contradictory here. Of course we're afraid to die because we don't know exactly what's on the other side or how it is. He delivered them who through fear of death all their lifetime subject to bondage. All my friends, he can settle your fear. He can settle your fear. But we still have fear. And he says, for verily he took not upon himself the nature of angels, but he took upon himself the seed of Abraham, the principle that was set in the beginning remains true, and it will remain true until the end of time. Every seed shall bear after its own kind. And Abraham was a man. And he took upon himself the seed of Abraham. Not the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham. Friends, this is the man who is a hiding place from the wind. When the wind seems to be blowing so hard, so dry, so parching, so disturbing, here is your hiding place. You can find refuge in this man. Just understand that when you feel whatever it is you feel in sorrow and grief or in afflictions or troubles, whatever it might be, just remember this man knows firsthand. This man knows firsthand what you feel because he was a man. He is a man. I want to emphasize that he is a man. When Pilate brought Jesus to the Jews, and he said to the Jews, behold the man. They thought that he was suffering defeat. That crown was in mockery. Oh, but friends, he was winning a crown that they knew nothing about. This is one of those crowns spoken about John saw in Revelation. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Behold the man. I encourage us to behold the man Christ Jesus, who was prophesied just prior in this same prophecy. Behold, unto us a child is born. This was the seed of Abraham, the promised king, son of David, the covenant promised son of David that was set up on his throne forever. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords was none other than the seed of Abraham. Unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. It's to us, my friends, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Oh, my friends, I'll tell you, you'll find this man full of wonder. Just in view his life a little while. Just observe his ministry and his life. I knew Brother Jimmy Bass. He melted my heart every time I got around him. He just melted my heart because he got the flesh out of the way and let the Son of God, the Spirit of God, flow out of him. Made me so ashamed. I don't know how many of you ever knew David Bridgman. He was the same way. I had him in my home one time. He melted my heart. The love of God just flowed from that man. To us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Oh, I found him full of wonder many times. I wonder, so full of wonder when I observe the life of this man. I have found refuge. He is that covert from the tempest. Counselor. Oh, friends, he's counseled me many times. When I get to a place that I don't know what to do, I go for him. I go to him for counsel. He is my counselor. He is your counselor, friends. Let me recommend this counselor to you. If you need some counseling, he is a counselor. Counselor. Wonderful counselor. The mighty God. The everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Oh, friends, this is that man. There's a man, the man that spake like no other man spake. He had that reputation that he spake like no other man spake. And he is that covert that when the storm of life comes, you can run into this refuge and find safety. He is at rivers of water in a dry place. Rivers of water in a dry place. When your soul thirsts and you feel parched by the dryness of the society, that the Spirit of God seems to be gone and the dryness of society, you can go to this rivers and drink. There you can quench the soul's thirst. I recommend this water. It's soul satisfying, thirst quenching rivers. He's the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. It seems that when the heat of society and the heat of temptation comes upon you, here you can find a refuge in the shade. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. This is part I want out of this. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor, that is, help them that are tempted. You will not carry anything to this individual in sufferings that he has firsthand knowledge and experience. I want you to know this man, it was witnessed that though it was being rumored that he was a spirit, he just appeared to be a man. He really wasn't a man. He was just a spirit. Friend, Mary didn't have a spirit. She had a child. And it was prophesied that she would have this child. It was prophesied that she would have this child. And when John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world," that's this one man, Christ Jesus. This is he. And John testified in the face of this rumor that we have seen him. Our eyes have beheld him. Our hands have handled him. John was a living testimony that he wasn't a spirit. He was true. He was real. This man, John said, "I've laid my head in his bosom."
How about you? Have you ever laid your head? No, I know not physically, but you can find rest in His bosom. John said, our eyes have seen Him, our hands have handled Him. The Word of life, the eternal life that was with the Father was manifested to us. And we've seen it. And declare unto you that eternal life that was before the foundation of the world has been manifested to us. Isn't that wonderful? Eternal life made visible in the man, Christ Jesus. No, friends, He was in the Spirit. He challenged His disciples after His resurrection. Yes, it was His body that was crucified. This man was crucified. This man was persecuted. He was spat upon. He was shamed. He was ridiculed. He was made fun of. They made up dirty little songs about Him. And He was poked fun of. But this man conquered. Even though they thought that they had defeated Him, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross and we will believe thee. No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. There's too many miracles that have been worked in their presence and they still didn't believe Him. Miracles that only God can do was worked in their presence. The dead raised, the lame made to walk, the deaf made to hear, the blind made to see. They still accused Him of being of Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. No, they wouldn't have believed Him if He had come down immediately at the time. Oh, He came down. He came down, all right, but it was a different way than they thought. Oh, friends. This man was nailed to a cross. And the suffering that is declared there, as was admonished last evening, I believe it was, go read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah and you'll find the most vivid picture of the crucifixion that you'll find in all the Word of God. He was despised and rejected, a man we esteemed him not, etc. Then He says He is despised. He's still despised. And He told His disciples, if they've hated Me, they'll hate you. That's still true today, friends. His enemies that have really officially, legally, judicially have already been defeated. We're just waiting for the sentence to be carried out. We're just waiting for the sentence to be... His enemies, yes, friends, He has enemies. And if you're going to be His friend, you're going to have enemies. He says, if they've hated Me, they'll hate you. This man was crucified. He was hung on a cross. I hadn't found any. I was thinking earlier. Appreciate so much the prayers, the public prayers. I struggle with prayer. I really do. And I've never heard a prayer. Really, truly, I've never heard a prayer that I felt did justice to approach the Most High God. I've heard some beautiful ones. This melted my soul. I think I've done a few in private myself. I have a hard time praying. But I've never heard one that I thought the wording, man's word just can't do justice to the approaching of the throne of God. Praise be unto God, this man, this resurrected man, makes intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered, even when we can't find words, when all we can do is groan. He interprets that groan. Praise be unto God, He does. He interprets that groan. This man was laid in a tomb, but he wasn't defeated. And if you think the reputation of the movie, I finally did see it later, The Passions of Christ. Doesn't even come close to doing it justice. I realize that it touched a lot of people. But friends, the suffering was not visible. The sufferings that He really suffered was not visible. There was no man allowed to see the real suffering that the Son of God suffered between He and the Father. When He suffered hell on my behalf, I trust in your behalf. But this man come out victorious. And he defeated death and delivered them who through fear of death all their lifetime subject to bondage. This man, friend,
ascended to glory. And he's seated at the right hand of God. This is that king of, that's reigning in righteousness. This is that king that's reigning in righteousness. Same one. This man that is a hiding place from the wind, a cover from the tempest and rivers of water in a dry place in the shadow of a rock in a weary land. This man is king. He's king. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's now seated on the right hand of God. And the apostle and you know, this should mean much to us because the turmoil of the time when Paul wrote this to the young minister Timothy, he said, exhorting that first of all, supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made unto all men for kings, for rulers, that is, kings or rulers, for all that are in authority. The turmoil that's going on in the time is getting a whole lot familiar again. It's getting a whole lot the same way. You see, the situation of the times of the first coming of the Lord and our situation of today is beginning to get more and more alike. Paul is exhorting the young minister and charging the young minister Timothy to teach God's people to supplications. That means to get out and beg. To beg God. To beg this one. You have one. If you can't find the word, you have one that can intercede on your behalf. Supplications, prayers, intercession be given and giving of thanks. Don't forget to give thanks. How many times do we pray? We have it answered and we don't thank God. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. For kings, for rulers, for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet. You know why we have this privilege today? We've had this privilege this weekend. It's because we've had some people begging God. Continue to allow us to have the freedom. Continue to subdue our enemies. Destroy those that would destroy us. We still have this privilege because there's some people praying. For he said, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men, there again, the all men is all kinds of men. Appreciate that, Brother Allen. All kinds of men. Not all men without exception, but all men without distinction. All kinds of men. You see, the only ones that prior to this had privilege to the oracles of God was the natural descendants of Abraham until this time. Now, all kinds of men. All kinds of men. We'd have all men to be saved. We will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. Here's what I was after, but I just couldn't leave off the beginning. Or there is one God. You know, that sure does help when you can eliminate all of these so-called gods. It sure does help. You don't have to. I mean, to learn this God's going to take a lifetime, and you'll barely scratch the surface to learn this one God. Just think of what it would be if you had multiple gods. There is one God. There's but one God. He's Jehovah God, self-existent, eternal God. Think about the word self-existent. There's not a created being on this world that doesn't rely on the Creator. Is not self, there's nothing other than this one God that's self-existent and eternal. Self-existent, eternal God. There's one God. And there's one mediator. There's only one. And I promise you, when he offers up that prayer to God, he'll word it correctly. He'll word it the way you meant it. His wording will be in harmony with the will of God. One God, one mediator between God and man. The man. That's right. The man Christ Jesus. You see, he had to have not the man Christ Jesus, but Christ had to have an existence to take upon himself the seed of Abraham. Isn't that correct? Amen. We're talking about Christ, the God, taking up on himself the seed of Abraham. We're talking about God being and taking a nature that he had never had before. And no, there's not a human being alive can explain this, that he was 100% God and 100% man. Don't make little of either one. Because you'll never understand it. Just remember this. This man is in heaven, having experienced temptation in all points like as you'll ever face. He is able to help you. He's able to succor them that are tempted. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That all is qualified there. It'll be testified in due time. Let us remember that king, he's ascended the throne. He's seated on the throne, and there he sits today. He's not ignorant of what's happening in this world because he is involved. And in spite of what some might say, that he's gone off and left us, if he's really, really the God that you claim him to be, things wouldn't be going like they are. It's not his fault things going like they are. And he's not ignorant of what's going on. He's totally aware of exactly what's going on. In fact, he knows what's going on in your mind. He knows what's going on in your soul, in your heart. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows the wicked intents of wicked man. He knows exactly where. And he'll step in not a minute too early nor a minute too late. He'll step in exactly at the right time and say, it's enough. That's enough. There'll be no more suffering, and he'll call it all. And that man, my friend's coming back. He's coming back. And as the brother declared so beautifully last night, and every eye shall behold him, every eye shall see him, they that pierced him. We'll see him. He's not coming back subject to time, space, or the elements of this world, friends. No, he's coming back same way he went away, victorious. Having defeated, we're going to see him face to face. Thank you for that. May God bless you is our prayer.